When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs to our sponsors. But before that, hey, go leave a five-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, or if it's iTunes or something. We'd love those five-star reviews. Go over and leave those. They help so much, and that's why we're able to keep this podcast free at this point. Also, go over and check out our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. That phone me and I'll tell you how great it is. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Right now we're running a quarterly membership, which I think is unique. But what I think makes our membership unique is it's run by me. It's run by someone that's been there, it coaches every day, 24/7 in the gym, dealing with the parents, all that. Not run by a college coach, not run by a big conglomerate. It's me. And I think it's like, if you need help on a Tuesday in February, I'll be there to help you. So come over and check out teachhoops.com. It is the one-stop shop and our roadmap is second to none. It will walk you through the steps you need to put rings on the finger and pictures on the wall. So let's head off to the podcast.
Yeah, nothing close to that level. I give private lessons locally in Maryland. I coach a kind of ninth grade select team. So nothing near that level. But yeah, just obviously love the game and you know, everything I can do in it, I love to do. So
are you looking to coach at the high school level or the collegiate level or anything like that?
Definitely not collegiate, because like I said, the lifestyle and the recruiting and everything that goes into it.
Tell me about it. Like, I mean, I've had opportunities. It's like, I don't really want to go spend a day in July in a gym watching a 17-year-old deciding if I'm going to make my mortgage payment. Like, you know,
it's brutal. And that was the one great thing about the NBA is it's all basketball, you know, and you hear people that made that leap, like from college coaching to the NBA. I mean, they just love not having to deal with all that nonsense anymore. But yeah, not looking at college. I mean, yeah, I'd be open to coaching high school or something like that. I'm just, you know, I'm not a teacher, obviously. So I don't know exactly how some of this stuff works and, you know, how it would work for me, but, I'm always open to anything. I, you know, still trying to figure out exactly what the next step is.
Yeah, like. No. I mean, it's obviously easier if you're a teacher and stuff, but it's similar to the NBA. It's like it's really about getting to know the right people that are going to be doing the hiring and all of those kind of things. It's very similar to that. Like, you just, you know, got to get in front of the right AD or right school, and you know, it's like life. A lot of it's what you know rather than who you know, or it's sort of who you know, not what you know. So it's sometimes that kind of stuff. As you coach that ninth grade team, what's the hardest thing to teach them at that level?
Oh boy, where do I start? they're mostly good kids. It's just, it's funny because, you know, obviously, like I said, I'm Gary Williams' disciple, Randy Whitman's disciple, who both are, you know, Bob Knight, the hard charging lunatic type. And so I'm a little bit calmer than that, but
yeah, you better. Well, and that's a different era too.
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore. Yeah, but still, you know, I love defense. I'm huge on, kind of pack line, everybody helping each other out. And, the kids these days, I mean, just, you know, quite frankly, again, just don't understand how hard you have to work every single practice, every single drill. And there's just, you know, there's so much wasted time of guys kind of going through the emotions and having to stay on them all the time about just, you know, we cannot take plays off. And so, again, I mean, it's really hard. And I know you know it very well, but yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I just try to instill is that mindset and not having an off switch. And, I've had some teams that get that and really improve and get better. And, some kids who, again, just don't really love the game or don't really know, you know, what it takes to kind of play at a higher level. So, it's not easy, but I try to just definitely get the passion for the game and the work ethic, is the thing I try to instill the most.
I tell all young coaches too, it's like, that's where you should start. You should actually start coaching like a seventh grade team. Because if you can teach seventh graders things or fifth graders things, then teaching a 17-year-old's easier, a 22-year-old's easy. It's like,
right.
It's a lot harder to teach the game and the skills at the younger levels. And coaching's coaching, but it's as you get younger, it's more the minutiae of the game, which I think really makes you a better coach.
Sorry to interrupt. It's just funny you say that though, because like in the lessons I give, for example, I mean, I've had some kids, you know, that are 9 years old, whatever, never played basketball. And honestly, one of the parts that's been the biggest challenge to me is, like starting from that literal beginning of basketball. Like, how do I teach them how to shoot a layup, to gather the basketball, to take the footwork, I can diagram a, floppy fist or, 10 million different plays. But you're right. When you have to get back to the real core of the game, the absolute fundamentals, it does make you kind of rethink things and make sure you understand all the minutiae and have to have to be able to break it down from a beginner's level. So
right, and that I personally think that's the fun part. Where's my thing? Explain in the NBA the differences between like the offenses and the defenses that we see versus the collegiate level.
I'd say NBA offense is obviously a lot, a lot more vanilla kind of than college. In college, there's so many different systems and different, motion and, across the country. I mean, you probably see 150 different ways of playing and philosophies and so on and so forth. NBA is such a copycat league that, everybody's virtually running the same things. There's maybe two or three teams that are kind of drastically different, but for the most part, it's spread pick and roll. It's five out, it's pace and space. It's, everybody's doing it virtually the same way. On the defensive side, college obviously has more, more zone, more, a lot more pressing, funky things that you don't see much of. Obviously zone's making a little bit of a comeback, but you don't see hardly any pressing and things like that.
What do you think of zone? What do you think of the zone in at that level?
At like the youth level?
No, we used to not be able to zone at the NBA level. You can. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely important to, especially to mix in kind of as a, a little bit of just of a junk defense and to throw teams off. I mean, I love the way that Brad Stevens kind of initially started doing it, when he started in the NBA, was kind of whenever a team would call a timeout or at the end of the game or whatever, he would come out in like a 1-3-1 and just totally throw off, you know, whatever play you had drawn up. So I like it that way. I like it a lot more than I do having like a steady diet of it. I mean, obviously it's really hard to do in the NBA with the defensive 3-second rules and so on. But yeah, I mean, we're even seeing, you know, the Clippers in game five played a, you know, a ton of zone, and it definitely, you know, can be useful to throw somebody off. I really hate it at the youth level. We don't have to get too deeply into that.
Oh yeah. That's a whole podcast. We could spend an hour on that. Like, yeah, it should be banned before the kids are in ninth grade, at least, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I just wondered. I mean, it does, and this is from just an outsider looking in. It definitely looks more vanilla. That's why I'm never sure at the NBA level. It definitely looks more vanilla than it does at the, you know, collegiate level.
I think increasingly too. I think that's happened more even in the last, you know, 3-4 years. Because honestly, when I started in the NBA, I was pretty shocked that, you know, we had like a 150 playbook. You know, there were a lot of teams that called 40 set plays a game. You know, and it seems like more and more over the last few years, there's less and less set plays, and more just, you know, I think the analytic influence has been, now we want just this style of playing. We want rim and threes, and it's kind of made almost, you know, the game a little homogenous. I think it's made it too vanilla, you know, you can't really, there's not enough execution of like, okay, you know, we've got this set, we're going to go to late game and run this. Now you see teams that just, all they can do is spread pick and roll and drive and kick. And they, you know, they don't, D'Antoni, coaches like that don't even really call plays. I mean, so it's definitely changed a lot. And, you know, the analytics have brought some good things to the game, but I think they also have, you know, jumped a little bit too far in the direction of, oh, we only want, you know, these specific shots, and lost some of the beauty of the game and some of the, you know, mid range that we see coming back every playoffs, and how important obviously that shot is still.
Well, I think because you can get it, that's the issue, is like, I think that's part of the, I'm convinced the mid game is not dead. People think it's dead. I'm not, I mean,
100%.
Yeah. Cause it's like, at least even at the high school, I know I can get shots in that window. So you basically got to be able to shoot those and make them at a point where, okay, yeah, it's almost, I don't want to say it's like a layup, but it's got to almost be in that scenario that it's got to be that easy. Yeah, I agree. So tell me a little bit about your YouTube channel and your podcast. Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying that. I'm enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. We appreciate those. Those 5-star reviews mean a lot to us. Go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I'm going to challenge you right now. I do this once in a while. I'm going to challenge you to become a better basketball coach. You know, grit, I was just doing something about grit. Grit is passion and perseverance. And if you have those, you have to get better. Let teachhoops.com help you do that. Go over and check it out, 14-day free trial. And let's head back to the podcast.
Yeah, so, you know, I just try to, it's very, very nitty gritty. It's very nuanced. I mean, the video I did yesterday, I did a video kind of, you know, how to watch basketball like a coach. I broke down game five through like the lens of Ty Lue, and that video is almost 20 minutes long, and that was just for the first half of the game. So
right.
I'm definitely not great at the concisity, the, you know, breaking things down to quick hitters, whatever. But yeah, I try to almost do them like NBA level film sessions, like the same way, you know, we watched film in the NBA and then we had to break down film. And I try to point out, you know, all the little details and all the things that, you know, fans probably don't see and miss. So yeah, try to just come at it more from a from an X and O's standpoint, a perspective of somebody that's been there, and that's, you know, obviously vastly different from all the hot take clickbait media stuff that's kind of dominates it today. And yeah, so just try to kind of bring an authentic viewpoint of somebody that did work there for a reasonable amount of time, and hopefully can break it down to younger coaches and players and fans at a you know, high level of detail.
Okay. So, and then what is the difference between that and the podcast?
Yeah, the podcast, I just have a little more, you know, conversational, obviously. I mean, I had you know, Fran Fraschilla came on, Tim Kirchin did an episode about basketball with me, you know, some coaches, players, things like that. So, yeah, I just go to that one when I'm too long form, even for YouTube, when I need 30 minutes or so. Yeah, I just like to have a couple different avenues to get some stuff out there.
And it's really like as you're talking here, I'm just kind of I'm surfing so no one can see that. But so I see that it's really NBA based. Like I'm looking at your Patreon page too. Even it's like you do stuff with, you know, post game, pre game stuff of NBA games. So it's really NBA based. Like you're talking about that type of game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I, you know, like when it comes draft time, I mean, I try to break down like the top 10 or so picks. And I try to, I try to explain the fundamentals of the game and definitely do some videos and, you know, suggestions. I did a basketball IQ podcast, actually is one of the ones on my podcast that I think, you know, young coaches, people trying to get into the game could learn a lot from. So try to do stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, my true love obviously is the NBA and, you know, try to do as much from that as I can.
Okay. I know. I think that's great. I think from someone that's doing podcasts and YouTube and all that kind of stuff on a pretty regular basis, it's like, I think that's a really good, niche of, as far as specific things that you need, you know what I'm saying? All right, couple things. Have any? Did you see NBA guys having superstitions and things like that?
Yes, actually. You know, John Wall, I think would drink like a McDonald's hot chocolate with like 20 sugars or something ridiculous. He needed every single pregame. There's a definitely some odd ones like that. I tried to, you know, I'd be working like such a madman to try to finalize the pregame edit and stuff that I'm sure a lot of them, you know, I didn't even have a clue were going on. But yeah, definitely big time creatures of habit and, you know, all about the routine at that level. So.
And what's the variation on the coaching level? Like do all, I mean, is there a huge difference in preparation from team A to team B or whatever? It doesn't, I don't know, whatever. Is there, do you think how the Mavs do it versus the Bucks do it versus the Lakers do it? I mean, or is it all pretty similar?
Like in terms of our preparation, I mean, personally, like, especially under Whitman, I mean, I tell people we prepared for every game like it was a playoff game. I mean, Randy Whitman, you know, what I learned from him really was just his attention to detail was nuts. I mean, he could be, you know, in a film session or just watching film as coaches, and he'd say, oh yeah, didn't they run that play 7 years ago on the left side of the floor in the third quarter? Didn't they run Horn's twist? Like, he just has that kind of beautiful mind, photographic, crazy memory. So he was unbelievably detail oriented, and every, you know, we'd meet for an hour and a half before practice every day, you know, watch 100-something clips. But like I said, you know, I did also learn and realize that there's different ways to do it, because Brooks, like, you know, like I said, he was very much the opposite of that. It was more just kind of, let's have good relationships, let's keep guys positive, and let's let them play. You know, in terms of how teams like play and all that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because there'd be very different ways that you'd have to prepare. Like Golden State, obviously, you know, they hardly call any plays. They pretty much just have a movement system, and, you know, Kerr's the post splits and his philosophy and all that. And so, you know, for them, you just kind of had to drill principles and then, you know, try to have a general framework for what we wanted to do. But yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, made guys like that so hard to guard, because, you know, they don't call plays. There's nothing you can tell the team is coming. It's more so just about, you know, making them realize you can't relax for a second on Steph and company, or you're done.
Okay. So let me ask you some rapid fire questions that we kind of do at the end. Do you have a favorite brand of basketball, like the actual ball we play the game with? Do you have a favorite brand that you like?
I like the Evolutions, right? Which one is that? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
Wilson Evolution.
Maybe Wilson. Yeah. what's one word to describe your ideal player?
Gritty.
Okay, why?
I think because, like we talked about, I think hustle, energy, defense, all those things are so important to winning. And again, that's why you see the Patrick Beverleys, the PJ Tuckers, guys like that having, deep playoff runs and being such important players in the playoffs is because that energy is contagious. You need those lockdown defenders to win in the playoffs, and I think it's such an important part of being a good basketball team.
If you could go to one sporting event in the world, what would you go to?
NBA Finals.
Do you have a favorite pregame meal? Did you have a favorite thing you ate before a game? Or is it fast food in the video room?
That's a good question. Yeah. It's funny, in Atlanta, when you play the Hawks, you'd always get post-game, there'd be Chick-fil-A in the locker room. So that was definitely something to look forward to. And the players always loved having that post-game there.
Okay, I love that. Is there one thing that you did on the road to relax?
I try to go to an occasional movie if I could sneak out for a couple hours without a coach needing me. But yeah, definitely didn't get a whole lot of that at the NBA level, but I am a movie and TV show kind of guy in my occasional free time.
Okay. Best player you have seen in person?
To go against LeBron, to work with, like, personally on our team, I'd say tie between Bradley Beal and Paul Pierce, who I think both will be Hall of Famers.
Okay. Best game you have seen in person?
Whew, that's a good one too. Wow. I guess the first one that comes to mind is talking about LeBron. I mean, he hit, I'm sure if you Google LeBron Wizards, it's one of the first things that comes up. But that bank shot three at the buzzer, it was like 0.6 or, something under a second on the clock. And he caught a full court pass from Kevin Love and turned around and banked it off the glass for three, and I think they beat us in overtime. So that one was pretty unbelievable and pretty devastating, obviously, for us personally.
All right. One word one book you would recommend to a young coach?
There's a great book called NBA Coaches Playbook on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, it has like 30 or so like guest authors. I think each chapter is like written by a different coach. It features like a sample scouting report, sample game plan. Just has a lot of cool features, a lot of cool things for coaches to look at and study. And that one really helped me learn the game at a higher level.
Okay. One bit of advice you'd give, this is always my last question. One bit of advice you'd give to a young coach.
Yeah, no, I just, I freeze because there's so much that comes to mind, but I'd say, the biggest thing to me is I think just try to emphasize above all playing hard. I love, for example, like what you see Ty Lue in the playoffs. I mean, if you watch him on the sidelines, whenever they get a good shot, he's applauding. He's positive. He's upbeat. Doesn't matter if it goes in or not, but I think that's big. And obviously, like I said, as coaches, we get negative. It's you're grading. You get pissed off, obviously, at a lot of things. But I think that kind of positivity and evaluating again the process instead of caring about the result that the shot didn't go in, evaluate the process, applaud good effort, good unselfishness, teamwork, all those things, and try to stay upbeat and reward doing the right things even if you don't ultimately make shots or even win games.
All right. Well, thank you, coach. I will make sure I put all of your contact, your Twitter feed, your YouTube channel, all that down in the show notes, so when people need to find that, and I appreciate you spending the time.
For sure. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to hear more of these, go over and join teachhoops.com. 14-day free trial allows us to do this, and then subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Tell us what you want to hear in the future, steve@tchoops.com. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.